You're listening to Voice Actor Showcase, episode number 9. Hi everyone and welcome back to Voice Actor Showcase, a podcast about voice actors and their stories. I'm Jun Yoon. Connect with us on Instagram, Twitter, and Facebook at Voice Actor Show. These episodes are also available on YouTube at youtube.com/voicemoto. The Voice Actor Showcase is about the voice actors on their journey to realize the dream of becoming an established voice actor. We're interested in telling the stories of countless voice actors around the world who are working hard to make their dream a reality. Whether that means they've only recently learned about dubbing in different languages or have been hunting for their voice work on YouTube. Now, if you have an interesting story to tell and you're finding yourself becoming strangely comfortable inside your closet, I'd love to have you on the show. Please contact us by visiting voiceactorshowcase.com. Today, we'll meet a voice actor from Miami, Florida. He grew up with a love for all things creative, cartoons, films, video games, and so on. It wasn't until he had a serious discussion with his college counselor that things clicked into place. One thing led to another, and he currently works full-time as an audio engineer at a studio, finding time and opportunity to voice projects when available. He's voiced many characters as a voice actor. In fact, there are scores of telenovelas dubbed in English being distributed across Africa that has his voice on them. And, most notably, he has voiced Todo in Mecha Ude. If you follow the YouTube personality Reina Scully, that title should sound very familiar to you. She played Aki Murasame in the film and was one of the producers. Needless to say, he's done some fun projects with some really cool people, and we're going to hear all about it. Please welcome Donald Guzzi.
I finally catch up to you. And just look at yourself, young master. I must say, the trigger arm's power is quite impressive. Oh, please, just calm down. I'm simply here to recover the young master. Let's not fight. He can be such a selfish little boy.
Give those back!
Are you deaf? I said that I had no intention of fighting with you.
Toto, I want to be the one who kills him.
Well, I guess it's not really my job. I'm sure that one of our employees will be paying you a very special visit soon. Until next time, do try to take care of that trigger arm of yours.
Donald Guzzi, hello, sir. Thank you for being on the show. How are you?
Oh, I'm great. How about yourself?
I'm well. Thank you very much. With this cup of coffee in my hand, I'm feeling a lot better now. So, much like the rest of us in the voice acting realm, you grew up loving cartoons, films, and video games. What are some titles that left an impact?
I definitely got to say pretty much anything on Cartoon Network. So, a lot of Genndy, Tartakovsky, you know, Dexter's Lab, Powerpuff Girls, Samurai Jack.
Nice.
All the Toonami stuff, Dragon Ball Z, Rurouni Kenshin, Yu Yu Hakusho. And two of my favorite video games are the Mass Effect series and Transistor from Supergiant.
Samurai Jack, that brings back memories.
Oh, yeah. So
I really like that one.
So good.
Now, you specifically refer to a toy that you used to play with, something called a Lego Studio Kit. I didn't grow up here, so I have no idea what that is. Tell us about that.
Okay, Lego Studio was a kid's toy that basically let a younger audience get into stop motion and filmmaking. So It came with its own software. It had a little camera that had a button on the top that allowed you to take pictures for stop motion.
Cool.
You could also record live straight through. And yeah, so I used to use that all the time when I was a child. I'd make random Lego things and make stop motion movies about
awesome.
It. It was a lot of fun.
What kind of movies did you make?
I tried to do something with the Texas Chainsaw Massacre. Like, I did one of those. It was terrible.
No. I mean, dude, there's Lego movies being produced professionally in Hollywood for Batman and other things.
Yeah.
Of course, Texas Chainsaw Massacre in Legos.
Yeah. There was also one other one I did with, I was super proud of it. I made this boat and I used like plastic wrap as the water. That was, nice. That was like my crowning achievement as a young boy. You know, it was only 10 seconds of this boat moving around, but you know, it helped me start my process.
That is so cool. I wish I had, my toys were so dumb when I was young in Korea, because this is like early 80s.
Man, it's not dumb if you had fun with it.
I guess, but I wish I had Legos. I don't know. You grew up as a child experiencing and enjoying creativity pretty much all around you, and that's awesome.
Yeah, I was definitely very lucky. It's definitely lucky.
What about high school? It's typically a time in somebody's life where they get to really like realize who they are. You know what I mean? To a certain extent.
My high school was weird because I thought I was going to be in graphic design and IT.
Yeah.
And so I went heavy into that field. Like I took my PC support. I did graphics, graphic design classes and everything like that. Clearly not where I ended up. But but yeah, it was weird. But it definitely helped me weed out who my real friends were and stuff like that. So
yeah,
you know, there's that. But
yeah, I hear you. By the sophomore year of my experience, like friends is just theater kids from that point on for me. So
oh yeah.
Yeah, I think high school is weird for everyone to a certain. I think everybody can agree. Now, you went to college as a communications major, and there's a really funny story about the guidance counselor. Do tell.
I was trying to decide if I wanted to continue with communications or move into something else. So I had already kind of discovered audio at this point a little bit. So I was like, do I make the dive or do I keep going for my 4-year degree?
Right.
So I spoke with my career advisor and I asked her, what could I really do with this degree? It was communications and film, video, and new media. So it was a pretty broad spectrum.
Mm.
Really, she couldn't go in depth. And the best thing I can say, she kind of gave me the Wikipedia answer, you know, and the fact that she couldn't really give me any specifics threw me off and really stuck a foot up my butt and was like, go for audio. This is them telling you that's what you should do. So I quit school that week, dropped out of college. I worked 3 jobs over the course of 4 or 5 months to save up so I can go. Oh, yeah. No days off for 5 months. It was rough.
Wow. I mean, in a way, that's a good thing, right? Most people would consider dropping out of college a negative event. But it worked out for you.
It can be both, you know. If you don't know where you're going after you drop out of college, it can definitely be a problem. But I definitely had a clear sight of where I wanted to go and what I wanted to do, and I worked my butt off for it.
Hmm. And then what did you do after you dropped out?
I was working with the city of West Palm Beach as a recreation specialist, so that was part-time.
Mm.
I worked full-time at a jewelry warehouse.
Oh.
And then I also had another part-time job at a water park because it was during the summer season. So I was working full-time at the jewelry warehouse. Thursday, Saturdays, and Sundays, I'd be working 12, 16-hour days.
Wow.
Between City of West Palm and the water park, because the water park was mainly weekends. And yeah, it was a very long summer.
And then how does it connect from those part-time jobs and the jewelry warehouse to audio engineering?
So while I was working as a rec spec at West Palm, we did a lot of concerts.
Mm.
So I ended up hooking up with a live sound company and did a couple shows with them as a stage tech.
Mm.
And I was like, wow, this is actually really awesome. I think I'd like to do this. So I explored my options, and that's when I found SAE Institute in Miami.
Huh.
Yeah, and then the guidance counselor advisor thing happened and set me right on my path.
I think I come from a similar place as you, actually. I really love the editing and the engineering aspect of processing sound and video and stuff like that. I work with Final Cut Pro and Logic Pro, and I love editing. I'm a weirdo, I know. But because I love editing so much, I'll never hire anybody to edit these podcasts or any video productions that I do, because I love this process. What is it about audio engineering that you like so much?
I like to be able to create unique sounds and effects in real unorthodox ways. That's my favorite thing about it. So like in Star Wars, the blasters are those metal guidelines or guide wires coming from power lines?
Yeah.
Someone hit that with a wrench and decided, hey, that sound great as a blaster.
Oh.
Another example is the Reavers in Mass Effect, which I believe the bass sound effect for that was someone taking a metal trash can lid off a metal trash can and sliding it around. They slowed it down through a bunch of modulation on it and everything. And yeah, that's super cool to me.
You're talking about Foley, aren't you?
A little bit, yeah, kind of.
Because every time I watch those videos on how people make audio sounds for different productions, the one that had the most impact on me was the horror movie sounds, you know?
Oh, yes.
Like, whatever it is that they use a saw. And like how they bended and make that sound, that blew me away.
Oh,
like,
so cool. So cool.
Wouldn't that be the best job? Oh my gosh.
That's the dream right there.
We'll all get there one day.
One day.
One man. All right. Okay. Sorry. All right. Now, okay. So with that experience and with those stories that's behind you now, your very first job in the field of audio engineering was at a dubbing studio, right? And that's where you got your first real experience, I guess, behind the desk. Tell us the story about how you got that job and what you did, what kind of work you did there.
The day of my graduation, I got the call from not one but two studios.
Oh.
The one I currently work at, Universal Sinergia, and The Kitchen. Now, at the time, I interviewed for both of them the same day, which was the day after graduation, I think. The Kitchen was still, they had just moved, so they were still kind of building everything up. And their internship process, I wasn't a huge fan of. So I went to Universal. I really liked what I saw, and I started pretty much the next week in my training. I got hired as a QC, which is quality control. So that means I'm watching our dubbed materials for mistakes.
Ah.
So lines are long, lines are short, they mispronounced something, they flubbed it, whatever. Anything I think looks terrible, I can send back and have them re-record. And I was QC for a few years. From there, I moved into recording. And from recording, I ended up into the mix and master. And then from there, I ended up into 5.1 surround sound mixing, which is where I'm currently at right now.
And for the listeners who have no idea what 5.1 is, what is 5.1?
5.1 is mixing in a full 360-degree space. Not quite what you hear in movie theaters, because that's Atmos. That's a whole bunch of speakers. 5.1 is five speakers and a sub. And it's basically creating a more immersive experience for a TV show or a movie. So all the sound effects that completely surround you while you're watching something, that's what I do.
Like police cars, sirens blaring, that's going past you, behind you.
Exactly, exactly.
Oh, that's hard.
It's not as hard as you think. It's like it caught me off guard when I started. I was like, oh man, this is going to be so crazy. And then I was like, oh, it's the same thing, but instead of just going left and right, you can do the center, the left, the right, the left surround, or the right surround. I was like, you just have more places to send it, and it's not as bad as you think. It's a lot of fun. It's a little intimidating, but it's not so bad.
Yeah, it's not so bad if you know what you're doing. Edit it out. Edit it out. Oh, gosh. And the same studio is still where you're working, and also where you made your debut as a voice actor. Tell us about the very first gig that you booked as a voice actor. How did it happen? And what was the project about?
Okay. I bugged our casting director for a good 6 months before I got my first gig. Now, we do a lot of unconventional dubbing where I work. A lot of our business is telenovelas. It's super weird, and we can get into that.
Oh, we will.
A little bit later. But so I bugged him. He finally decided. He's like, all right, I'll give you a shot. I did some auditions, and he really liked what I did. And then a couple months later, he gave me my first role. Now, I don't know if this was him just messing with me, trying to throw me off, but my first character was in this show called La Suegra, which is the mother-in-law, and I think it was a Chilean telenovela. And I got to play the biggest American stereotype gay guy you could ever imagine. Now, it was weird. Obviously, I'm like, my first role, I have to do this, really? And I feel like he was messing with me to see if he could throw me off. But of course, I had fun with it and I killed it.
Prove him wrong. Of course.
I killed it.
Nice. Oh, man. And that very first gig, playing this character for the Chilean telenovela, it got you started. And then your big break came, right? Tell us about that.
At the time, HBO was one of our clients. I wish I could tell you guys where you could find any of the stuff dubbed. I have no idea where it is. So if anyone happens to find any of these shows, please let me know. I'd love to see it. But we were starting Magnifica 70 Season 2, which was a Portuguese HBO show. Really good show. And we were doing voice tests for it.
Hmm.
And what that encompasses is you basically have three different people, three different voice actors audition, and they send the samples to the client to get picked. One actor canceled last minute. And since I was there, they decided, all right, let's just send Donald so we have three things to send the client. Well, I got picked.
Oh.
And threw them way through a loop. They're like, how? This guy hasn't done anything. And it's what happened. And that was my first big character. And from there, it kind of sent me into bigger territory to getting more roles.
Wow. Talk about the right place at the right time.
Absolutely. That is a very real thing.
Wow. That's so crazy.
Mm-hmm.
I'm also sure that your role as a 5.0 audio designer and dubbing typically American flagrant characters for telenovela can get really dreary after a while. It's the same ones over and over because that's what you're picked for. I don't know. But you're also looking to see where you could also expand out to other genres of voiceover now, right? Out of all the genres that are out there for voice work, which ones are intriguing to you that you'd like to explore out into?
Audiobooks are definitely up there. I listen to audiobooks religiously, and it just seems like a lot of fun to me. I know they're a lot of work, but they seem a lot of fun. Now, I will say it actually doesn't really get too old dubbing these telenovela characters.
Huh.
Because I'm not sure if you've ever seen a telenovela, but everything is overacted, and it's very... It's so much fun because you don't have to take yourself seriously. You can be as ridiculous as you want.
Ah.
And it pretty much matches what they're doing on screen. So it's usually fine. So, like, you know, occasionally you'll have those serious moments where you have to buckle down and get it in there real good. But
sure.
But usually it's super ridiculous and super fun to just get there and let loose in the booth and just, you know, you don't have to take yourself super seriously.
I personally, that sounds like the most fun ever. I just let it go and be as crazy as you want to be.
Oh, yeah. That's, yeah.
I'm jealous. I want to start looking for those roles. I think that'd be awesome. Telenovela dubbing.
Hey, they're out there. They're out there.
Woo. All right. So in addition to those fun characters, you also have voice actor credits on IMDb. I'd like to specifically talk about your role as Todo in the sci-fi short Mecha Ude by Okamoto and Tri-F Studio in Japan. Tell us more about working on that project.
That was incredible. That was a lot of fun. I don't even know how we got the project, but we found out we were getting this anime that was kickstarted.
Yeah.
And we looked it up and I was like, oh my God, like, let me audition, please. So that was that was the first thing, is let me audition. And then the second thing was, let me mix it, please let me mix it. Because we don't get a lot of cartoons, so we really want to make those as good as we possibly can so we can get more.
Yeah.
So that was a huge thing. I was like, let me audition, let me mix it, let me be a part of it somewhere, please.
Wow.
Yeah, and actually, Toto wasn't my first character. I actually auditioned for both Hikaru Amatsuga, which I believe was the main character, and Kagami, which was the villain in that episode. I auditioned for both, including Toto. Got picked for Toto, didn't get picked for the leads, which is fine, you know.
Yeah.
It was still cool to be a part of that project, and mixing it was incredible, because that was the first time I really got to do some cool sound effects in a mix for the for anyone who's seen it, all the mechanical arms Mecha Ude in the anime all have this cool sounding technological filter on it, and I had a blast trying to recreate that from the original.
Oh. Wow. It's kind of like best of both worlds, voice acting and sound design.
Exactly. And
man,
it was also the first time we got to direct someone who wasn't recording at our facility.
Oh.
And I'm referring to Raina Scully. Oh,
of course.
She was recording out in LA, and our director was on Skype directing her through the recording session. I just happened to be in the room, so I wasn't actually directing, but he asked me to be in there just to kind of bounce some things off me a little bit. But
yeah,
that was a pretty cool experience too. She was awesome. Pleasure to work with. Made everything real easy.
How fun. And what kind of responses have you heard from fans of both Raina and the film?
As far as I've seen in the comments on the video, everyone's loved it so far. They want more. Raina loved it. To me personally, they haven't directed anything towards me, but going off of the video and the comments, people love the hell out of it and they want more.
Will there be additional films?
I believe so. It was,
wow,
they kickstarted it. I know that was the pilot, so technically that was like episode 3 or 4, I think.
Huh.
So they do plan on doing an entire series, but Tri-F Studios, I think, is only like 4 people.
Huh.
So it's a really small company. So the fact that they were able to even come out with something that great,
wow,
was awesome. So I'm sure it's going to take a little bit of time for them to actually finish the show, but there's definitely more on the way going off of what the Kickstarter said.
Well, we'll all certainly be looking out for that. That's wow.
Mm-hmm.
But you have an even larger credit than Toto on Mecha Ude. You're the voice of Sammy in Mini Force X.
I am. That one was really fun as well.
Tell us about that.
So that was actually my first time being a voice replacement. There was a Mini Force show on Netflix, as well as a movie, I think.
Oh.
And they decided to go with us instead of the other studio that dubbed it. So I actually had to replace someone else and try to imitate what they did. Luckily, they sounded like me. So it wasn't too hard. And then as the series goes on, you can kind of hear him sit into his own a little bit, different than what it was at the beginning of the series. I also got to play, I was a villain in that show. There was an episode with like a Cookie Monster villain that I was as well. Almost every lead character in that show also played a villain at some point in the series. But sadly, there's no casting list on any of the episodes, which is a little, you know, a little
disappointing.
It is very disappointing when you put in a lot of work into something and no one can actually see who it is. But,
yeah,
you know, we can update it on IMDb ourselves and everything. So there is still that. We can still get the credit. But it is a little disconcerting to have that happen. But, you know, it is what it is. It's still me. It's still us. We still did it.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, can be proud of the fact that you still did it, and it's on IMDb as well, so. Now, obviously, we can't have this conversation and not mention the completely unconventional way you got into voice acting. All the ADR work you've done in those telenovelas that are airing in Africa right now. Looking back in all those years that you've spent, what is your take in all of this?
I definitely made the right choice in choosing to pursue audio. I got to do something I never thought I'd ever be able to do. Actually, two things, voice acting and working on TV shows and everything like that. It was difficult. It was very hard. I had to work really hard to get to where I am.
Mm-hmm.
And I still am going to have to continue to work hard to pursue my passion even further. Life's good, man. Like that's all I can say. It's been a hard road, and it's going to only get harder, but life's good.
Yeah, it's about the journey, isn't it? Exactly. It's about the ride. Absolutely. Man, that's good. I think it's super important to have that positive outlook. You know what I mean? No matter how slow work is or how many clients are dropping out from under you, whatever it may be, I think it's important to have that positive outlook.
Exactly.
What's life like in Miami? Is it as glorious and glamorous and fabulous as Hollywood makes it out to be?
Absolutely not.
Okay, honest from a local. That's good. Yep.
Personally, I'm actually not a huge fan of Miami. When I got the job at the dubbing studio, I actually lived an hour and a half north of where it was. So I was driving a little over 100 miles a day to get to work. In the amount I was paying in tolls and gas, it was almost the equivalent of rent. So I moved down there. You know, it's not bad. Miami's not bad. It's just not for me. The food's incredible.
Oh, yeah.
And there's plenty of really talented people. But city life is not super for me. Like if right now I currently live in a place called Pembroke Pines, which is about 20 minutes north of Miami. So it's close enough where I can go in there whenever I want, grab my food, enjoy my company, and then leave. I don't have to live there. I don't have to stay there. Yeah, I lived in downtown Miami for a little while, and that was an interesting experience, I'll tell you that much.
Where's the best place in Miami for tacos?
There's so many. The one that rings a bell right off the bat is a place called Taco Shack, which is near Wynwood.
Mm.
And the reason this place resonates with me is because we used to order from there all the time.
Ah, okay, yeah.
Now, I'm sure there are plenty of other taco places that are amazing because you can walk into any gas station and they have little cafes and stuff like that. And
nice.
Everything is so good. So it's really hard to make that choice. But I think Taco Shack right now is definitely one of my favorite places to get tacos.
There we go. You heard it. The recommendation from a local. So if you're ever in the Miami area, Taco Shack's the place to go. There you go. Donald Guzzi, any thoughts of moving to LA or New York to continue to pursue your voice acting career?
Absolutely. It's not in the cards right now, but LA's the goal. Unless I could make a living doing a lot of stuff from home and staying here.
Mm.
But the way things are going in Florida for the arts, I don't know if that's lucrative. But LA's definitely somewhere I could see myself going. A couple of years ago, I actually almost just packed up my car and left to go out there. I'm glad I didn't, knowing what I know now. I would have gotten eaten alive. That's for sure.
Indeed. Yeah, the town's not very forgiving. Neither is New York, I hear.
Yeah, New York, I don't want to do New York. I've got a lot of family in New York. New York's definitely not for me.
Now, I know you mostly record when you're at work at the studio. Do you also have a home studio as well? And if so, what equipment do you currently use and what did you start out with?
I do record at home. I currently record using Pro Tools and I use the tried and true Shure SM7B.
Ah, yes.
That mic is my baby. I love it. It's perfect for me because it is it's a dynamic microphone, which means it does very well at canceling out any extra room noise and stuff like that. So you can record using this mic in an untreated closet and it'll probably sound A-okay.
Cloudlifter?
Yep, I do have a Cloudlifter as well. It's a quiet mic, so that's kind of
something you need with it as well.
At the start, luckily, my roommate, who is actually the current artistic director at my studio where I work right now, he happened to have an AKG C414, which is a really nice competitor of the Neumann TLM-103, which is what a lot of dubbing studios uses. And that's what I got to start on. So I was a little spoiled.
No Blue Yeti for you?
I'm sorry. I love blue microphones. I can't stand the blue USB mics. Oh, no. No. It's actually really funny. I have a $6 XLR mic.
What?
And it is a, yes, it is a clone of the Shure SM57.
Oh, wow.
It is by a company called Pyle, P-Y-L-E.
Pyle Audio.
Yeah. And I want to say it's the PDM 587 or something along those lines. I'm sure if you search Amazon, that's where I got it.
$6. Wow.
$6. I found it through a YouTube video and I was blown away. So before you drop $100 on a USB mic, just know there's a $6 mic that'll get you there. Now it might break, you know, they're not great, amazing microphones for the longevity, but $6, you can't really get mad.
But it's another piece of equipment that allows for easy access and entry into this realm. So I think that's great.
Mm-hmm, exactly. The materials are out there. You just got to look.
Right. Okay, so some goals. How about some goals for 2020? Personal and professional ones.
There's so many. Personally, I want to put out one completely independent project, whether that be a music album, a book, or a pilot script for a short or a TV show, something. I've got ideas for all three. So it's just about picking one and moving forward with it.
Huh.
Professionally, I'm currently, I'm actually going to be moving out of 5.1.
Oh.
And I'm going to be moving into media services. So I will be in charge of all of the materials we receive from clients and making sure they get delivered to who they need to go to. I've got a huge book of MPAA guidelines to read.
Ooh.
Not excited about it.
That sounds like fun. Yeah, I was going to say. A proper desk job. Oh, man.
Oh, yeah. But, you know, it's more experience, it's more knowledge, and I'm going to take that and run with it.
Absolutely. And it's about figuring out how to use that knowledge and the experience and incorporating it into your goal at the end, right?
Exactly.
Now, everybody has, that are older of age, has a go-to drink. Mine is a whiskey, bourbon, something that tastes good that's not beer. What's yours?
I actually don't drink too much anymore. So when I do go out, I'm still experimenting. I still am finding what I really, really enjoy. But currently, right now, it would have to be Dragon's Milk, which is a dark beer. And it's like a 10% beer. It's real heavy, smooth, and yeah, I love it. Plus the name. The name is what got me to buy it in the first place.
Make sure to try. I'm going to have to try that. I've never heard of it out here. I don't look forward to it, I suppose, hard enough. But Dragon's Milk does sound very intriguing.
It's real nice. If you like darker, smoother beers, that's definitely a good one.
Well, I will try it and report back when I can, for sure. So what's next for you, Donald? What do you have coming up? Where do you go from here? And if they want to find out more about you, where do they go?
All right. So currently, I have an audiobook coming out. The author is Gregory Gubish Jr., and the book title is Metamorphs. That's going to be coming out sometime before July. And I'm also currently audio editing an audio drama called Null Void, put on by the Piece of Cake Podcasting Network, which I believe is going to start airing in April, I think. And I believe they're going to be doing an Indiegogo as well. So be on the lookout for that. It's a pretty interesting sci-fi podcast audio drama. And if you want to find me, I'm not super active on Twitter, but my Instagram would be @action_audio. And that's pretty much where I'm most active on social media. I should probably get on Twitter, though.
Shame on you, Donald. Marketing is half the job.
I know. I'm really bad at it.
Of course, links down below, as always. Thank you very much for joining us today, Donald. It was a lot of fun talking with you. Telenovelas in Africa. That's the first combination of two words that I've never heard before. That's awesome.
I figured you'd get a kick out of that.
Oh, man. I hope you have a good rest of the day. Thank you again for joining us. That was fun.
Thank you so much for having me, and you as well.
This has been Voice Actor Showcase. Visit our website at voiceactorshowcase.com. If you'd like to be featured on this podcast, contact us at voiceactorshowcase.com. Thanks for listening.